Well, we are continuing on in our series here on the life and death power of words. We're going to be looking a lot through Proverbs today. Okay, so if you want to keep a finger in the book of Proverbs, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures in the book of Proverbs. And also in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 is going to be the second main portion of scripture today. You know, this week I was just reading again in Isaiah chapter 6, and we read about Isaiah last week. And in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah shares the greatest and the most significant moment of his life. And I believe that it changed Isaiah forever. Isaiah is one of the few and privileged and honored people in the world that actually saw the Lord Jesus Christ with his own eyes. He saw Jesus sitting on a throne, the King of all kings. And the glory of the Lord was there, the presence of God, the anointing of God, the power of God, his majesty filled the room. And there were angels there worshiping God. And in that incredible moment of reverence, Isaiah was completely overwhelmed with anguish and grief. Because in that moment, he got a revelation of the holiness of God. But he also got a revelation of how evil his mouth was. And he said, "Woe is me! Woe is me! I'm undone. I'm done. I'm doomed. Because I'm a sinful man with filthy lips. And I have seen Jehovah Sabaoth. I've seen the Lord of heaven's armies." And then God, in his grace and his love, forgave Isaiah. And he cleanses him of his unrighteousness. You know, I just don't believe that this is supposed to be just another sermon and just another Sunday and just another sermon series. I really don't. But I really believe that God wants us to have such a revelation of our unclean lips that it brings us to a point of anguish and repentance. And that our lives are going to be changed forever. That's what God wants for us. He wants to change us forever. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, last week we began talking about the different kinds of talk that come out of unclean lips. I'm sorry. God, forgive us. God, forgive me.
Cleanse us, God. Cleanse us. Bring us to that place of repentance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us enough to do that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I need someone to pray for me. Glory to God. Thanks, Thomas. Amen. Last week, we began talking about the different kinds of talk that come out of unclean lips. And we started to talk about complaining. Do you remember that? Complaining. And that complaining is a sin. That complaining is not just a part of our regular human language, not supposed to be a part of our regular conversation. That complaining opens the door to the enemy. And it opens the door to destruction. And how many of you remember the antidote or the remedy for complaining? It is praising. Hallelujah. How many of you are complaining this week? Don't raise your hand. How many of you are praising this week? Six of you. That's better than five. Today, we're going to talk about gossip, slander, and criticism. Doesn't that sound great? Glory to God. Here's a definition for gossip. Spreading intimate or private rumors or facts to a person about another person or people. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19 says, a gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers. Okay, so here's a couple things we need to understand about gossip, is that oftentimes gossip is about spreading rumors that have not necessarily been confirmed to be true. So lots of times, gossip might not even be true, and it usually starts with something like this. You know what? I read on the internet this week. Right? Please don't believe everything that you read on the internet. You know, just as an example, I've had so many people talk to me and tell me all these things they've read on the internet about pastors or preachers or churches that are absolutely 100% false. Right? And lots of times there's half-truths, but lots of times there's just bold-faced lies spoken out of complete ignorance. And also, we have to understand about gossip, and if it's from the internet as well, is that secondhand information and third-hand information and fourth-hand information gets less and less accurate. Is that right? How many of you ever played that game Telephone? You ever played that game Telephone? And there's a whole bunch of people, and you whisper in someone's ear something, and then they whisper it to the next person, they whisper it, and then the final person is supposed to be able to say what the first person said. Right? So that first person whispers something like, Joey likes to play marbles. And then the last person says, purple monkey dishwasher. Right? Because the more you go, the less accurate the information becomes. So gossip in general can't be trusted, but gossip is not just spreading rumors. Gossip can also be spreading truth. Okay, you can be telling the truth about someone and still be gossiping. Just because something is true doesn't justify us to tell someone else about it. A quote I heard here, it says, everything we say must be true, but everything that is true does not need to be said. Okay? But let's be clear this morning that gossip 100% is a sin. If you look at Romans chapter 1, okay, this portion of scripture I'm going to read to you, this is about a sinful people. This is about people that have turned away from God and that are giving in to their sinful desires and living in sin. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 to 30. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with, listen to this, every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. Another thing, another form of talk that we're going to be talking about in this series, boasting. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. Gossips are equated with wickedness, evil, and immorality. Okay, and I would think that most believers know that gossip is wrong without even having to see it in Scripture. How many of you knew that gossip was wrong this morning before you came to church? Quite a few of you, right? So we know that it's wrong. So as believers, we don't always just come out and gossip, but we try and disguise it. You know, I just really need to talk to you about Sally for a minute. I'd just really like you to pray for her. Do you really want that person to pray for Sally? Or do you really just kind of want to talk about Sally? Right? We can try and put some Christian jewelry around gossip to justify it, but it's still gossip. I bet God just loves it when we do that. I bet he just loves being associated with wickedness and immorality. Right? And aren't we kind of blaming God when we do that? Aren't we saying, you know, I really don't want to tell you this, but I think God does. Gossiping in the name of God? That's gross. That's terrible, right? That's worse than the unbeliever that gossips in ignorance. If there's such a thing as worse sin, okay? But we try to disguise it. And, you know, for myself personally, I usually can pick up on that first one. When I do that first one and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do this, okay? But the way that I have discovered that I gossip, remember, we're in this together, right? I call it a gossip sandwich. You ever heard of that? So let me give you an example of a gossip sandwich. Yeah, just so-and-so, they're just such a great person. I love them. I wouldn't trust them near a casino, but man, they are just fantastic. They're just great people. See what I did there? Compliment, gossip, compliment. That's my gossip sandwich, right? So we try and disguise it through compliments, right? Oh yeah, the Johnsons, they're just the sweetest couple ever, you know? That's why it's so difficult that he lost his job and his wife likes those daytime soaps a little bit too much. But man, I just love hanging out with those guys, the Johnsons. They're just the best. Right? We try and disguise it that way. But no matter how we dress it up, it's gossip and it's wrong. Is that right? So why do we do it then? Well, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8 says, "The words of a whisperer, gossip, are like dainty morsels to be greedily eaten. They go down into the innermost chambers of the body to be remembered and mused upon." How many of you like Toffee Fae? Anybody like Toffee Fae? Me too. I love this stuff, especially around Christmas time. I even kept the wrapping on here to make sure it's nice and fresh. My family usually gets me Toffee Fae, puts it in my stocking, if you're taking notes. But, you know, to me, this is a dainty morsel. That's what this is to me. This is a dainty morsel, right? So what happens is when someone says to me, "Hey, Brett, hey, you hear about Gus?" This is what they're offering me, right? This is a dainty morsel. This is what they're offering to my flesh, right? Well, no, I don't know about Gus. Please tell me. Is that right? That tasted good. Didn't you know what Gus did after that? No, I don't. Go on. Then what did Gus say? He did? This is the best illustration I've ever done. And I've done many. I need to spit this out. How many of you like Toffee Fae? Two hands. There's a Pentecostal right here. Tim, you know what I learned this week? Pastor Skip. Learned some juice on Pastor Skip. You want to hear? You want to hear? His first name's not Skip. That tastes good? Anybody else want to hear about Pastor Skip? Yeah? Yeah? Crystal? Do you want to know what his first name is? Cosmo. Cosmo Kramer Skip. Anybody else want to hear some? Yeah. Gossip tastes good. I heard someone say that gossip can travel around the world back. Around the world and back before the truth can even get its pants on. And especially that's true today with social media, don't you think? The reason why that happens is because gossip tastes good. There's something in our sinful nature, there's something in our flesh that has a perverse attraction to gossip. Okay? And whatever it is, maybe it makes people feel important. You know, that feeling of empowerment that you know something that someone else doesn't know, and you've got the power to share that with whoever you want. Maybe it just makes people feel better about themselves when someone else looks bad, right? Maybe it's because people's lives are so boring that they just like the entertainment of gossip. Is that possible? Tabloids are still selling. I still see them at the grocery stores, do you? Right? So what's a dainty morsel to you? See, when someone gossips to you, they're offering you something that tastes good to your flesh. But now here's the good news. That in Jesus Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin or our sinful nature. And that we have the power and the ability in Jesus to live by the Holy Spirit. And that the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in you can overcome and conquer the works of the flesh. Isn't that exciting? That means you don't have to gossip if you don't want to. Here's four questions to ask yourself before we open our mouth. Number one, is my conversation helpful or hurtful? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 27 says, scoundrels create trouble. Their words are a destructive blaze. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. We know Ephesians 4:29, many of us, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Repeat after me. Watch your tongue. Keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. Watch your tongue. Keep your mouth shut. And stay out of trouble. Watch your tongue. And keep your mouth shut. And you will stay out of trouble. You just memorize a scripture verse. I think those are words to live by. Amen? So number one, is my conversation helpful or hurtful? Number two, am I making private matters public? Proverbs 11 says, it is foolish to belittle one's neighbor. A sensible person keeps quiet. A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. You know, it's really important to understand that gossip doesn't just hurt the person that's being gossiped about, but gossip hurts the gossiper. Proverbs 25 says, when arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never again regain your good reputation. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not usually prone to make friends with gossips. Because I don't want to be walking on eggshells worried about every little thing that I say to them. And here's something that we need to understand. If someone is gossiping to you, you can be sure that they will also gossip about you. If someone is gossiping to you, assuredly, they will also gossip about you. Number three, am I permitting others to gossip? This is the part that I think that a lot of us sometimes miss, or we feel innocent on this part. Okay, but Proverbs 17 says, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. See, this scripture helps us see it's not just wrong to gossip, but it's wrong to listen to gossip and slander. Someone once said, you promote what you permit. You promote what you permit. So someone is giving you the lowdown on someone. If you're allowing that to happen, you are also promoting that, whether you agree with it or not. Okay? So let's not be ignorant. Let's not be naive and think that, you know, we're just an innocent bystander when someone's gossiping, right? That it takes two ears for gossip to exist, okay? So you don't have to listen to gossip. And here's some questions you can ask. So someone is starting to gossip. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? They're starting to do this. just ask them right out, just before they even get going, you know, hey, why are you telling me this? Just ask them that. Why are you telling me this? They just might have some diarrhea of the mouth, right? And they're not even thinking it through, but then you say, hey, why are you telling me this? And then all of a sudden they take that mental inventory and they're like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't, right? Here's another thing you can say. Hey, hold on a second. Have you had a chance to talk to that person yet about what you're telling me? Right? So there's a couple questions just to kind of steer that conversation. And if they're not getting the clue, then you might have to be a little more assertive, a little more direct. And say, you know what? I love God. And when I listen to you gospel with someone, I'm not loving God anymore. It's kind of tough. It's kind of harsh, but I'm a little more concerned with what God thinks instead of what that person thinks. Right? Here's the last one. Am I loving my neighbor? Am I loving my neighbor? You know, Jesus commands us two things, two commandments: love God and love other people. Okay, and if we're choosing love, if we're choosing to love other people, well, love keeps no record of wrongs. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love does not point fingers and accuse and blame. There's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Is that true? When we choose to gossip, we're not choosing love. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about slander, but not much. Okay, slander, it's really a more vicious form of gossip. That's slander. Okay, but you could certainly put them together. But slander is a little different in that it spreads lies, accusations, facts, and truth, same as gossip. But there's a malicious intent there. There's that hateful, that mean intent that you want to discredit, you want to harm another person's character in the eyes of someone else. So slander is kind of a step further. You know, slander is a little, I don't know if it's more evil, but it's a step worse, I think. Proverbs 10:17. I just want to read a couple scriptures here on what God thinks of slander. Okay, Proverbs chapter 10. People who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray. Hiding hatred makes you a liar. Slandering others makes you a fool. God's just saying, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Psalm 140 says, this is very strong. Please hear how strong this is. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. Wow. That's what God thinks about slanderers and slander. Right? And something we need to understand is that when we gossip and we slander, we are absolutely sowing discord. Okay, it causes disharmony, disunity, and division. How many of you know that the enemy loves division? He wants to divide friends. He wants to divide marriages. He wants to divide churches. He loves division. He wants to divide us from Jesus, right? He loves division. When we gossip and when we slander, we are sowing discord. We're helping the enemy fulfill his purpose and his plans for us and the people that we're gossiping about and the people that we're gossiping to. Listen to this scripture. This is strong. Proverbs chapter 6. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. That's why it comes out of his mouth. We know that, don't we? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. People who sow discord, people who carelessly use a perverse mouth, people who gossip and slander, 100% will reap calamity. You will reap catastrophe. You'll reap disaster. You'll reap tragedy. Okay? I just want to be really clear what the word says. Okay? Not trying to make us feel bad. But it's important to understand that we will eat the fruit of our words. We will eat the fruit of our words. We're going to eat and reap the consequences of what we say. So that's gossip and that's slander. I want to talk about criticism now. And I'm going to do it a little bit differently than I did with those, okay? So first of all, let's go to Luke chapter 13. I want you to read this story with me. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book of the New Testament. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. "There are 6 days of the week for working," he said to the crowd. "Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath." So he's saying that to the woman that just got healed. Come on that day to be healed. Cripple? But the Lord replied, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath?" This shamed his enemies. But all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did. Here's what we need to know about criticism, okay? I'm gonna motor here, don't worry. Expect criticism. This is what we need to know about criticism. Expect criticism. Expect it, okay? And first, I just want to clarify that not all criticism is bad. There is constructive criticism. Okay? Constructive criticism helps us to be better. Everyone needs people in their life willing to offer constructive criticism. We all need that person that's not afraid to help us get better. We need that person. Don't be one of those people, okay, that can't receive correction. Don't be that person. Okay, we all need to get better. But the type of criticism that we're talking about from unclean lips, okay, it's a judgmental criticism. It's a negative criticism. It comes from a place of selfishness, fear, and arrogance. Okay, that's the place that criticism comes from. Okay, now when you read this story, wouldn't you think that everyone would be rejoicing? This woman has been crippled, bent over double for 18 years, right? And then Jesus, in an instant, miraculously heals her. Shouldn't everyone be rejoicing? Right? When Matt and Amanda tell us that Sam's been healed, we clapped, we rejoiced. Right? Well, wait a second. What day was that surgery on? Was it on the Sabbath? What? Are you kidding me? Right? But here we are. There's one person that just has to criticize. Here's what you need to know. Even when you're in God's will, even when you're doing amazing things in ministry, when you're making a difference, when you're impacting lives, when you're loving people and making disciples of Jesus, when you're fulfilling God's call in your life, you will be criticized. If you step out and start doing what God's calling you to do, I promise you, you're going to be criticized. Okay? And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. Who's getting criticized in this story? Jesus! We're talking about Jesus, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, the one who only does the will of God, the one who only does what he sees his Father doing, the King of all kings, Jesus Christ, Lord of all. If Jesus is getting criticized, you and me are going to get criticized. Okay? So expect criticism. Not everyone is going to be on your side. There's always going to be some haters. Everybody hear this before? Haters are going to hate. I'm kind of stepping out of my comfort zone. Not really understanding all that. But listen, not everyone is going to celebrate your victories. Not everyone's going to celebrate your blessing. Not everyone's going to celebrate your achievements and your successes in life. Okay? So we can expect criticism. But here's what we can't do. Don't let it steal your joy. Don't let it steal your joy. You see, if the enemy can't stop the miracle, he's going to start making you feel bad about it. Right? The enemy couldn't stop Jesus from healing that woman. But maybe he could steal her joy. Right? Ephesians 6 talks about the fiery darts, the arrows of the enemy. Right? And I know those to be thoughts that the enemy penetrates our minds with to attack us. But I wonder if those are also words. Words from other people that are meant to steal our joy, to make us doubt ourselves, and to live in fear. The Bible says the way we deal with those fiery arrows, the way we deal with those words of criticism, those thoughts from the enemy, is we raise our shield of faith. That's right. That's what's going to extinguish those arrows. Well, how do we raise that shield of faith? You put this in here, and then what's in here is going to come out of here. Right? And that's how we're going to raise that shield of faith. More word, more faith. More word, bigger shield. Okay? Here's another thing. Let's recognize where the criticism is coming from. Okay, so in this case, the criticism's coming from the ruler of the synagogue. It's coming from a religious leader. It's coming from a legalistic person. He's the one that criticized Jesus because he healed someone on the Sabbath. Someone once said this, "There is no critic like a religious critic. You haven't been beaten until you've been beaten with a Bible." He came at him with the Bible. He came at him with the Bible. He came at the Bible with the Bible. He came at the Word with the Word. Are you sure what I'm saying? Do you think he knows the Word like Jesus knows the Word? If Jesus is the Word? See, he might have understood the letter of the law, but he certainly didn't understand the spirit of the law. And Jesus said, "Are you kidding me? You value your donkey above this woman that's been crippled for 18 years?" Right? It didn't even make sense. And someone criticizes you and it doesn't make sense, you know it's not from a right place. right? And he starts criticizing this woman. Was it about the woman? I don't think so. I don't even know if it was about the law. I think this guy was jealous because Jesus, in a moment, exposed 18 years of impotency in his ministry. I wonder if that came from arrogance and pride and jealousy. And so he criticized the woman, even though it wasn't about the woman. You might be getting criticized at work, and it might not even be about you. Right? So let's judge, where is this criticism coming from? Okay? He didn't care about the woman. He wanted to feel better about himself. So this is what I want you to do, because I've done this before, and I wonder if you've done this too. Where someone criticizes you, and it really bothers you, and it weighs on you. I've got the kind of personality that it'll stick with me, and I'll think about it, and I have trouble sleeping then too, right? And I just don't spend any more sleepless nights, right, based on criticism that comes from ignorance and fear. Recognize what it is and say, you know what, that's where it comes from. I'm good. Okay? Here's another thing. I'm almost done. Don't let it stop you from doing what God is calling you to do. This is what you have to understand. People who draw attention to themselves, draw criticism. The only way to not be criticized if you do nothing and be ignored. Has God called you to do nothing and be ignored? No. God's got a divine purpose for you. God's got an awesome calling in your life. Right? So don't let the criticism of others, this judgmental negative criticism, stop you from doing the things that God is calling you to do. People are going to come and they're going to try to assassinate the call of God in your life. Okay? You're going to lose friends over it. And they might even be friends that you worship with. They might even be friends that you've loved. And now all of a sudden they're causing other people to gossip and slander about you, and they're ignoring you when they see you in public. God says, don't quit. Don't quit. Be tough. Be committed. Have some tenacity. Be tenacious about the call of God in your life. Don't let some little comment stop you from doing all the things that I want you to do. I'm going to quote the great Bishop Jakes. He said, good leadership and good character are proven in the bad times. You can't prove it in good times. You earn the right to be heard through the things suffered. Respect is earned not because of titles, but when you can take a licking and keep on ticking. Don't mistake the victory. The victory is not to change the mind of the critic, but the victory is to complete the assignment you're given. Did you catch that? Because there's going to be some people that you're not going to be able to change their mind. Okay? So don't get caught up in trying to change the mind of the critic. Complete the assignment that you're given. Two more things real quick. Let it remind you and teach you to have the right attitude and have the right mindset when you want to criticize other people. Matthew chapter 7 says, why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? Right? It's kind of like this picture here of this guy saying to you, excuse me, I believe you have something in your teeth. Right? Okay, maybe let's look in the mirror before we look at everybody else. And here's the last thing. This is good. The woman was criticized for coming to the synagogue and getting healed on the Sabbath. Okay? How many of you know that when you know that someone's gossiping about you, and someone is slandering you, and someone is criticizing you, how many of you know that it's very tempting to give that person a little piece of your mind? Is it? In our flesh, it's very, like, I want to tell this person what I'm thinking right now. Right? Like they have not, they do not understand yet how words can cut until I'm about to speak to this person. Right? Have you ever been like, you just get angry? It's frustrating. You want to defend yourself. You want to justify what's being said about you. Right? That's our flesh does that, right? That's emotion. That's human emotion. What did the woman do? What did the woman do? She just praised God. She just praised God. Right? And then what happened? Then Jesus answered the critic. He criticized her. She praised God. And then Jesus answered the critic. Jesus shamed the critic and validated the woman. When we do the right thing, when the right thing is not happening to us, Jesus has got your back. The battle is not yours, but it belongs to the Lord. When you praise God, He's going to start speaking to your enemies. Isn't that exciting? We don't even defend ourselves. Hey, man, what's going on? Right? But God's going to do that for us when we respond the right way to gossip and slander and criticism. Amen. I think I lost some of you about 7 minutes ago. That was a lot longer than I usually preach. I had to fit in criticism. I didn't want to spread it to another message. So, amen. Well, I'm going to invite our worship team forward, invite our prayer team forward. If you would like to come this morning for prayer, absolutely, I want you to do that. You know, I know it's 11:41. I know kickoff is in 19 minutes. I know this, okay? I get this. I understand what's happening here, okay? But can we just take 3 minutes? I just want to take 3 minutes, okay? You still got time. Hit the drive-thru. Gonna hit kickoff. You're going to be there. I promise, okay? But 3 minutes. Let's just take some time. If you'd like, I would like to just take some time to hear and respond to what the Holy Spirit is talking to you about. Okay? We're going to do this with every message of this series. Let's respond to what the Holy Spirit has been saying to you. Let's respond to what God's saying to you right now. Okay? If you'd like to come for prayer, you can do that. If you'd like to just sit here, you can do that. If you like to stand and worship, do that. Whatever you'd like to do, but let's respond for a few minutes here to what God's saying. Allow ministry to continue. If you want to stay just in His presence, please do that. Our service is dismissed. God bless the riders. Amen.